Squiddle, you good? Do you need the bathroom or anything? Are you good to go?
How's it going?
All right. My name is Conrad Kirby, a.k.a. Thurbleton, and this is, Scotchcast, Leancast, yet to be determined. I guess this is the Scotchcast portion of it.
I suppose so.
For the week of January 26, 2014. I was about to say 2013.
It's traveling back in time.
We are in 14.
We are in 14. It's weird. It's
blazing a trail into the new year. That's a month old almost.
Don't be such a bojo, man.
It's more like we're now, 2013 still felt a little bit like you could still, sort of be the last century, I guess, or last decade. I don't know. I'm an old man.
Sure.
I'm an old mansion boy.
I'm confused.
So,
I think
at this Kirby page, you guys.
Now it's for our Japanese listeners. What is that? What page is that?
What is Kirby?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the, let me scroll up here. This is the Kirby Triple Deluxe, or for our Japanese listeners, Toriporu Derakusu page. It's a 3DS game that came out in Japan 2 weeks ago.
I really hope you horribly botched that.
It's spelled out phonetically, so.
I just love the language. It sounds like you're about to attack anyone. You could say, I'm going to take a shit, and it sounds like I'm going to fucking powerbomb your ass into the next continent. I absolutely
it's
love
like,
that.
It's like a much more over the top German. Except you don't really sound angry at the. You sound like anime angry.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Guess I should preface for listeners that this is definitely a much more laid back episode of the Scotchcast. Also, Squiddle is here. How you doing, sir? What were you going to say?
Hi. Yeah. No. Wait. What am I going to say?
It's German and Kirby and.
I mean, if I
half of that sounded like German.
If I know my history right, Kirby is actually a German word.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Well, the Kirby vacuum cleaner. I mean, they both suck, right?
Kirby does suck. That's his thing. That's what he do.
Yeah.
See, I'm looking at this. You can become a sniper.
I think Squiddle remembers my last name is Kirby.
No, I know.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, did anyone ever make that joke when you were a youth?
No, only because...
The vacuum cleaner wasn't out back then?
Not necessarily the vacuum cleaner wasn't out back then. It was, but it just wasn't hip with the children's crowd to talk about vacuum cleaners.
Well, nowadays, let me tell you, vacuum cleaners can be pretty prevalent in the...
I'm just gonna throw something out here. Right? Your last name is Kirby, and we were discussing Kirby the Nintendo character and Kirby the vacuum. And I mentioned if anyone ever brought that up to you as a kid on a video game related podcast, and Squiddle, you decided to interpret that as I was talking about the vacuum. Guys, Kirby is wearing a purple hat with a feather in it.
So does my vacuum cleaner. But my mind goes in very weird places, so forgive me if it wanders.
He's also wearing a hat with eyes, a big red nose, and a mustache on it, and is juggling.
It's a me, Kirby.
I love Kirby, you guys.
Kirby's pretty good.
Have any of you played Epic Yarn? Because I was looking at that today and wondering if it emulated well.
I have not. I had a 64 back in the day, but pretty much after that I was straight up PC.
Okay.
Yeah, not I either.
I have a Wii, but it's not at this house.
So I was – I will say that I was over at my girlfriend's, and they have a Wii still.
Okay, nice.
I am looking to get them a PS4 in the foreseeable future because their 10-year-old is wanting to kind of get into better gaming and more advanced games. So I bought PS4.
Oh, you should get him.
Sorry, DS.
He has – he okay, hold on. He has a DS and a 3DS, and his sister has a 3DS. And they're having an issue right now where they can't link games unless he's playing the DS and she's playing the 3DS.
Wait, what do you mean link games?
Like she has the Mario game and then wants to stream it, I guess. This is all new to me because you couldn't do this with Game Boys back in my day. And then stream the game to a friend who's right in the area with you.
Oh, yeah, there's download play on it.
Right.
That's a DS thing.
So they're having an issue where if he's on his 3DS, they can't do the streaming for whatever reason, and I haven't looked into it yet.
Yeah, because I know the 3DS does have a download play option where it like sort of reboots into DS mode, but I honestly haven't tried it at all because okay. I don't know anyone that I would download play with.
Okay. So, but anyway, so yeah, so they I'm going to be getting them a PS4 later because he wants to do more fun games, and I figured PS4, why not?
You want to get him a game with that. How old did you say?
10.
Lego Marvel. Every day.
Okay. Yeah, he loves Lego. So, I mean, we're definitely going to get him that. I'm probably going to get him what is the game? I can't think of it right now. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember what it was.
Scribe.
It was a good game. Yeah, Scribe. I'm gonna reverse engineer it and get him Knack for the PS4. That's what I'm going to end up doing here. I lost train of thought. What were we talking about?
I'm really curious what this game was. Hold on,
It's Watch Dogs. I was actually going to get him Watch Dogs for me to play, but for him to kind of like
that game is also never coming out.
Well, sure, but I figured like why not buy it for me when it does, so when I go over there I can play it, but he can kind of like mess around with it. And you know, it's funny. I was kids nowadays. They were having an issue when they were over at my place this weekend where. She was playing, his sister was playing his save and ruining his save for the game that he was on. And I'm like, guys, let me take a look at this. And I looked at it and I was like, menu, 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 out, menu back in, or, you know, get back in. There's 3 save files, 1, 2, and 3. Guys, okay, you choose 1, you choose 2, 3's for guests. Let's just play it like that, no more arguments. Well, I didn't know we could do that. I was like, yes. Okay.
They don't know how easy they got it.
I know, right? Oh man. So anyway, but besides that, we were playing a Kirby game not long ago on his Wii when I was over there, and I forgot how fun Kirby was
because Kirby shit.
I had not played Kirby since the game. Okay, it's going to date me, I guess. Since the green and gray or black and white Game Boy days when
Kirby's Dream Land.
Yeah, the old school original.
It was the first Kirby game, yeah.
And I was like, "Well, this is pretty fun. I miss playing this." So I didn't play Epic Yarn, but I'm definitely looking forward to a new Kirby game. Once I get me my 3DS.
3DS.
There you go, 3DS. Okay. So that's my short story.
Because I was looking at it, and because, like I said, I have a Wii, but it's not here. My sister has it up at her place. So I was going at emulating it because I was basically just asking to see if there's any like Wii-style motion controls involved, which it seems like it's minimal, only in a few sections. So maybe I'll be able to pull it off. Who knows? That game was fun.
Isn't the Wiimote Bluetooth? Can't you like hook that up to your
PC? Yeah, but the thing is, I would need to set up. It's Bluetooth, but you also need like some form of IR or motion sensor bar.
Oh yeah, for the I forgot about that.
Yeah, because it's like there's certain parts where Kirby turns into a giant tank made of yarn, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to aim, you like tilt the Wiimote, like because you hold it sideways and you tilt it one way or another to aim up or down. So I'm wondering if like Dolphin will let you bind that to like the triggers or to like the right stick or something like that.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll mess with it.
I did go to Goodwill today and they had a Dreamcast and I was so close to buying it just to have the nostalgia because I used to have a Dreamcast. And then I thought better of myself and no, I'm going to buy it for twice the price and brand new in the box. So
did you do that? Did you actually buy it?
Not yet. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get Power Stone because I've been dying to play some Power Stone lately. I don't know why, but
more of a Soul Calibur fan.
I love Stone. Soul Calibur is probably my favorite, but I loved Power Stone because a Power Stone. Whenever you start,
it's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, just to hear that again and its original clarity, I would love that.
I guess, yeah, I started a little bit on Virtual Fighter, but, like, definitely Soul Calibur for the big ones was one of the ones that I, you know, I guess, well, that was introduced to me, and I didn't really play a lot of other fighting games, so that's the one that was for me, but really my favorite from back in the day, which I'm kind of glad the style of it has come back some, is Bushido Blade.
Okay.
Which actually, I'm really hoping that Jeff Gerstmann will either bring it in or do like an Encyclopedia Bombastica or something with that in the, like, because he's talked about it on the podcast.
Because I don't think I've ever actually seen Bushido Blade like being played.
It was just like a really fun sort of like third person sort of, like, are you familiar with it or?
Not really, except that it's sort of like a fighting game, but not really.
It's more, it is a, like, sword fighting game, not fighting game. Like, and it's realistic in design in that if you get, like, stabbed in your leg, you're going to be moving very slowly, limping the entire, like, the rest of the match. And any other stab, like, cut higher means you're out. Like, you're done.
Okay. That was what, PS1 game?
I want to say PS1, maybe PS2. I'm sure, like, hopefully it came in different incarnations on the PS2, but yeah, I definitely remember it from back in the day.
Still into that. Is that, it says here on the wiki that it's on PSN, but I don't think it is, at least not in the US. It might only be in Japan.
Yeah, it didn't seem to catch on too well. At least in this nation. Maybe it was big in Japan. I don't know.
Everything's big in Japan.
Of course.
If you know what I'm saying. Right, Squiddle?
Yeah, it's big when they take their pants down and it's short. Is that, what are we talking
sure.
about?
Still talking about Kirby, except more sexual.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Actually, we're talking about Bushido Blade.
Yeah.
Oh, Beyblades? Okay.
Yes, right, Beyblades.
not too... act like a normal episode podcast, but there is something I do want to talk to Shinboy about and Squiddle on a different topic, but Squiddle or Shinboy rather, you guys both have S names. It's weirding me out. Shinboy 630.
Okay. That's me.
You recently purchased Banner Saga for weird reasons, or at least do we want to get into all of this or just
talk about
the game?
Let's dig in. Okay. So, are you too familiar with King or King.com or whatever the hell their name is?
Yes.
The Candy Crush people?
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you familiar with their recent string of being giant copyright bullies?
They can suck a digital dick for all I care.
Okay, so the way this affects me and the Banner Saga is that Candy Crush Saga, their biggest game, they decided to...
You mean the Bejeweled knockoff, right? The Mastery
yes.
game? Okay.
Yes, the Bejeweled knockoff.
Wait, you mean where everybody calls it just Candy Crush? They don't even add the saga at the end of it if you're talking to anybody?
Okay. I'm getting there.
Okay. All
right. They decided they wanted to trademark or copyright, whatever, candy for use in a game, which is weird because Candyland is also a thing. But anyway,
In use of digital games.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a distinction in copyright law. It might be. Anyway,
yes.
Once they did that, I don't think it's actually gone through yet.
No.
I'm sorry. I thought the candy one did, and they were working on the saga one.
I don't think either of them got through. Anyway.
Okay.
No, the candy one did get approved. I remember that.
They decided that Crush wasn't important and decided to move right on to copywriting the word saga. Which, of course, affects the Banner Saga, however indirectly.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they sued Stoic, the Banner Saga devs, but they got wrapped up in some kind of legal nonsense where they were going to block Stoic from releasing anything else with the word Saga in it. Which doesn't make any sense, because one, they're not sort of... they're not breaking any sort of copyright laws by trying to piggyback off the success of Candy Crush Saga by having the word Saga in their name.
Yep.
And King has said as much. They're like, yeah, we know these guys aren't trying to to, you know, use our success or anything like that. And also, the Banner Saga is a epic tale about Vikings and a specifically a Viking voyage, otherwise known as a saga.
Mm-hmm.
So the Banner Saga is quite literally a saga, and they're not letting them use that name, or at least don't want to let them use that name. So I saw that, and I'm like, man, you guys are dicks. You can go suck my dick. And then I just, like, spite bought the Banner Saga on Steam to rub it in their face in my own little way.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you how the Banner Saga is later, but as I worked at a law firm in their mailroom, and so I don't know very much about the law, but I know a bit both just, like, from osmosis there as well as learning about other things. But here's the one of the big points with trademark law. I'm not even going to talk. I don't want to talk about
intellectual property law is silly.
Yeah, it's our legal system is shambles.
Fucked.
But ignoring the fact that someone could actually copyright trademark the word candy and or saga, since they were able to copyright it, they have to block every instance of it.
They have to enforce it, otherwise
they have to make some effort of blocking it to show that, to make it so that other knockoffs don't, like, you know, get credit for it and they can take them down if they want to. Near as I can tell for this, all the news stations and all the news sites and stories that I've been reading pretty much all tell the same story about how they blocked them from trademarking the Banner Saga.
They also plan to block them. Say they want to release something just straight up called, like, I guess the Banner Saga 2 or something like that. They would attempt to block that.
Yes. And that's all they're doing is attempting to block the trademark. They haven't, like, tried seizing their funds. They haven't tried, like, stopping them from making the Banner Saga factions, which they actually released before Candy Crush Saga. That was out, like, their free-to-play game was out before then. All that's happened is, while they're trying to make these trademarks for both Banner Saga and Banner Saga Factions, this millions of dollars a day King.com company has basically been delaying them and blocking them from trademarking it. So I guess if I understand all this right, they can still make the game, Stoic, the guys who make the Banner Saga. They just can't trademark it, so they're at risk from being copycatted.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, King is sort of, like, being massive dicks about it, and their excuse is like, hey, man, we have to, which is partially true.
It's,
it doesn't mean they're not being dicks about it.
The excuse is that if they don't block the Stoic guys, then Candy Extreme Saga or Extreme Crushed Saga or whatever on the iOS Match 3 game might make the excuse, well, you didn't block this game, which, you know, is in no way related to your game, but you didn't block them, so that way you can't block my game.
But isn't it the same as the kind of bullshit that went on when they had, who was it that decided to...
Edge?
No, well, was it the one for Scrolls, where they said, we're going to... We own...
Yeah, Max? Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, we own the right for Scrolls, and you can't use Scrolls in your name.
That was kind of more dickish.
Yeah, but that's on the same thing. And the reason why that got fixed and this didn't, or at least this doesn't look like it's going to be fixed, is because Notch had a ton of money.
Yep.
And I don't think the Stoic guys are going to be able to fight it because they can't afford to fight it. The King.com company will just keep throwing money at them until they submit or give up or whatever.
So what you're saying is Banner Saga needs to have microtransactions that they can compete in Candy Crush Saga so they can then throw their money at lawyers to repel the bullshit stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Because, like, all of King's games end in Saga. So, like, I guess if you're a complete dumbass, you can confuse them. But, like, one glance at either will let you know that they are very different. And obviously, if you look at the subject matter of the Banner Saga, you can tell that they are using the dictionary definition of the word saga and not trying to piggyback.
It's like no court would give King.com the rights to, like, yeah, you guys can definitely unrule this perfect definition of the word saga, but my argument is they're never going to be able to make it to court. King.com will keep delaying them, and Stoic will go bankrupt in legal fees, which is
Right, but if they do that, then when I see any game that has let's say that in this reality, any game that comes out with Saga at the end of it is a King game because they have it trademarked. Any game that comes out with Saga in it, I will never buy because I think Candy Crush is a load of poopy. And oh, yeah. I will never purchase any game that they create, just like I will never purchase a Zynga game because of their ties to totalitarianism in the gaming industry, in my opinion. So how are they benefiting?
I think this should all just be finished by EA stepping in and be like, whoa, you guys copied Bejeweled. That's not cool. And just crush them.
That would be pretty awesome. I would give kudos to EA if they did that. And I don't give kudos out easily to EA in any form or fashion.
It'd be funny. It's not going to happen.
No.
It'll be funny. So,
I think that pretty much explains everything about the saga of the Banner Saga.
Oh, I ended up saga. Whoa, easy now. I don't want to get sued. Stop using that word.
No, we're not making a video game, are we?
No.
They're okay.
Not that I know of.
But the saga, about the talk of the saga between the two companies.
The saga
in the Twilight Zone.
Black Sparrow of Time saga.
No, they can suck my saga. Something or other. Yeah, saga. If they try to come after me,
suck my saga.
Because I am actively working on a book for Black Sparrow of Time right now.
Oh shit! Really? There is,
yeah, I am. That's a
surprise. So on for the people who know, what is the Black Sparrow of Time?
So the Black Sparrow of Time. Okay, I don't want to get deep, but I'm going to get deep right now for people
go
who
for
are listening.
It, man.
Go deep.
When my father passed away in 2011, I had decided that, you know, I never spent enough time with my dad or asked him enough questions because we were a divorced household. So when I was thinking of a name for just some, you know, random, it wasn't random, I guess. It was more like the cause of this. I was coming up with the cause of like a soldier, like fighting in battle and things that he would regret. And his regret was the Black Sparrow of Time. And I attributed that to the time that I never had with my father. So my father is in turn the Black Sparrow of Time that is always there, but you never ask the right questions at the right time to know, and then he's gone. So
is this like you're saying that everyone has a personal Black Sparrow of Time?
Yes. Yeah. Everybody has a Black Sparrow of Time that they don't know yet, or they haven't come to terms with. And the story is about one guy, this one gentleman. And actually, I've decided to write in a part for a female character as well for my story that finds their Black Sparrow of Time and then is on a quest to understand it or come to terms with it.
Yeah, because I know the first time I was introduced to this concept was when you had, let's say, a few adult beverages.
Yeah.
And we had a thread on the Giant Bomb Guild Wars 2 forums about suggestions for songs for karaoke night. I believe you put something to the effect of, follow the Black Sparrow of Time and the lyrical goddess will follow.
Yeah. Because my father was big in music, for me, that was a big thing. And so, yeah, the music portion of it kind of struck me. And that's when I decided to bring out that portion of it. So it's pretty deep for me, but I'm hoping people like it once I'm done writing it. So
800 page paperback.
I don't know. I had my father's father read it over Christmas. A poem that I had wrote that will be kind of like my foreword. Yeah, I'm writing my own foreword.
Okay.
How pretentious is that? He looks at me and he goes, are you depressed? And I said, no, it's not about depression. It's about accepting what has happened and understanding where you are going from here. So I don't know. For me, it means something different than when anybody reads it, it'll mean something different to them. And that's kind of what I'm hoping. So,
Let me tell you, depression is no joke.
No, I completely agree. I went through my own of it. And then really, the Black Spur of Time also encompasses that I have never fully grieved for my father's passing. So for me, the Black Spur of Time still looms over my head, singing its song in my ear. So that's kind of like the, I haven't, once the day that I decide to fully grieve on my father's passing will be the day that the Black Spur of Time will leave me. So, like I said,
not trying to steer this back towards video games. I'm just actually curious. Have you played Depression Quest, the video game about depression?
I have not, no.
I have not either.
It's free and actually coming on Steam soon.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah.
Well, are they going to...
Quinzel.
Okay, I knew it was Zoe. Is she planning to charge for it on Steam?
No, it's going to be free.
Okay. Because I know Steam handles most of their free-to-play stuff is multiplayer. Pretty much all multiplayer.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
You can actually look for it on their website now, but or her website. I don't know the name of it, but just search for Depression Quest. It's anybody who's curious about that, wants to learn more about what it's like to possibly have depression, check that thing out. It's a
you should thing. Yeah, play Depression Quest and then listen to Guild Machines.
Yes.
On this perfect day. Holy hell!
Oh God!
But that actually,
album's so good.
Let's just talk about while you listen to it.
Another good thing to talk about depressing stuff
is the topic.
Now I'm intentionally trying to bring you back to video games. Shinboy, you played a depressing, or at least I thought it was a depressing video game called Banner Saga.
Yes, it is a saga in that it is a, reading this straight from Wikipedia, story about ancient Scandinavian and Germanic history, about early Viking voyages and the battles that took place during the voyages, which is what that game is.
Are they actual voyages, reenacted in this order?
A saga is just basically a tale about a voyage.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Banner Saga is a tale about a voyage, the battles that took place on it. Yeah. At least as far as I can tell, I've only played an hour of it.
But did you enjoy it?
Maybe. Okay, here's my thing with the Banner Saga and all games. Because it's like a strategy RPG in the same vein, generally speaking, as something like FF Tactics or Fire Emblem. Those games, they take you a while to get into the groove of how they work. In terms of how the skills work, how the stats work, how the turns are handled, how the AI handles itself, all these things take time. How the units work, all that. Those games are generally speaking really deep. And my initial reaction after the first hour is, I'm not sure quite yet how I like it from a combat point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you end up liking the combat all the way through?
Like I said last week, I enjoyed the combat, but I enjoyed it mainly because of Banner Saga factions, in which I could customize to the more or less fullest extent what I wanted. I wanted to have these types of shield guys mashing with this specific type of Varl. In the story, you have the guys that you're given, and you can get them by through various stories. You can pick them up at different times in the game, but by and large, the combat that they wanted to showcase in the game wasn't the kind that I particularly enjoyed. Namely, a ton of giants.
Yeah, because I noticed right away, because you do the first couple missions with all Varl, which are the big, burly Viking dudes that have horns sticking out of their foreheads. And then in chapter 2, which is where I'm at, you get switched over to a couple of, they're not called humans, but they're humans. It's, I guess, the realm of men, if you will. And they seem like they're way more fun and a lot more variety in their classes.
Yeah. I definitely enjoy the humans more.
Because all the Varl seem to either be sword and board or big two-handed melee weapon, and that's it, which is kind of boring. Is that how it is throughout?
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll deal.
I'm actually stoked to play this game. I really want to really want to get in and play it. When I saw it in a quick look they did, Giant Bomb did in earlier this year, last year.
They did a last year or whatever factions thing, didn't they?
I thought it was this game.
Yeah, they showed off Giant Bomb factions.
Okay. It was the free to play multiplayer part of it.
Yeah. When I saw them, what solidified me when I saw them at PAX in the CAH or Cards Against Humanity area.
Yeah, they were right next to them.
Yeah, showing it off. I thought, okay, I'm actually interested in this. I mean, just because I saw them online and I saw them in person, essentially. So I'm definitely, this is going to be my game to get in a few weeks here and definitely play that.
The art is great. The presentation is hit or miss. Like, all the stats are really well, like, really nicely conveyed on the screen.
Yeah.
It's just, they don't tell you what all of them are up front. You just sort of have to guess by the icon, as far as I can tell.
What do you, like, give me an example.
Like power or something like that?
The icon, especially when you're dealing with stats when upgrading, like, the big fist is your, like, strength and health. That's pretty obvious. The one that is, like, the shield being cracked is your ability to deal damage to armor. But there's one that's like a chain breaking, and I'm like, I don't know what this means.
I think that's your there's an option to bring up a tooltip. There's a question mark, and it explains what everything is.
Okay, because I'm so used to just mousing over things and it being explained.
Yeah, the chain I think is your exertion,
which I know that was mentioned. I don't.
Which basically what it means is if you want to, you know, your the willpower, which
yes.
is yeah.
Basically, your that, special move and move faster or move further abilities and stuff.
Yeah, that the exertion is how much willpower you want to use to add on to whatever attack you're doing or whatever movement you're doing.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, that pretty much means you can exert more power at once.
Yeah, so like I would build like the shield bangers, like the big Varl guys with the giant shields.
Basically.
Yeah, I would build them to have as much armor and armor break as possible, and they really didn't have any exertion. Like I didn't give them any willpower, any exertion, or anything like that. They just, I have a ton of armor, which is what the dredging and tread breaking first for me, and I have a ton of armor break, and I'm just going to get in the way and break down armor, and then for my damage dealers, I would give them the exertion, and then they would just be like almost glass cannony. Like they
seems
they
like that would go poorly in that game.
It sometimes did, usually didn't. It was just like it became a game of I'm going to like one shot three or four guys before I get like, you know, surrounded by dredge, and then I will immediately get killed.
Because it seems like in the couple of missions, it seems like the AI likes to gang up.
They do, but that's why I usually keep those guys in back for a couple rounds. Like they wouldn't do any fighting at first.
Yeah. Okay. You're saying? Kind of cut you off.
That was more or less it. It's like then by the time that guy died, the remaining guys could mop up usually.
Because that game also seems interesting to me in that just coming off of a game like Fire Emblem Awakening where there's permadeath, I'm so used to playing, I guess, a game in that subgenre with permadeath on that I'm sort of like, I need to learn how to play it differently. Like dying is not nearly as big a deal.
Like, yeah, dying's not a deal, but I have lost a person to losing a fight. Like,
okay.
When I failed a fight, the story progressed, but a person, like, he basically gave his life to let everyone else escape.
Yeah, because it seems like certain people always die in the story, some people can't die, and then there's a third group that's like, if they make it, cool, if not, they don't. It's like, I know there was a couple of people where after the missions, they're just like, oh, they died. This and this happened.
Which actually, I'm really curious how, like, this almost feels like an RTS version of The Walking Dead. Like, I'm really excited. Anyway. I'm excited for what the next game we're going to be, hopefully, if it comes out with this King.com nonsense happening. But, I mean, like, I hope another one comes out, and I'm really curious how it's going to play out, because people who play this will have their own definition of, like, this is what the canon thing should be.
They can do it a couple ways. They can do, like, the Mass Effect thing, where if you import your save and this dude was dead, he's straight up not there. Or they can do, like, the Fire Emblem thing, where they're sure there are a couple of recurring characters, but like they're recurring in name only, and each game is a different cast of characters that tells a different story. Because, like, you know, Marth is a recurring character in the Fire Emblem games, but it's not actually the same character. It's just sort of there in name. They could do that.
Yeah, they could
do that. It'd be interesting to see where they go. It's probably the safest bet, especially for a small team. But who knows? It's interesting. I agree. I'm curious.
Time will tell. But all in all, like the couple hours you've been playing with it, are you going to keep playing some more? Or
I'm definitely going to. Like I said before, those games take a while to get into like the groove of how they work. So I am not worried at all that I'm not going to enjoy it. Because on top of, you know, eventually I assume the combat will click and I'll start having more fun with it. But the music is great. The art is fantastic. I kind of wish I had a 3D monitor because I'm curious what the 3D profile on that game is, because a lot of the combat arenas have a lot of foreground stuff in them. In my experience, this stuff looks great in 3D. I'm definitely going to keep playing it.
Actually, something that really bugs me is the combat is really fun. It's so much like XCOM or any of those other types of games.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it had controller support so I could play on the couch.
Eh, man. Yeah. The clicking can be kind of annoying sometimes, so I could see why controller support might work. Like, clicking on things accidentally will cancel out things, or clicking on this will... It's kind of weird with how it conveys information. Like, say you're using a ranged character and you go to attack and a dude's not in range, but you click on them, it won't tell you, oh, that dude's out of range. It'll just sort of select that target.
Yeah, that is one of the bummers, and that was all the way back in Factions, how it's just like, well, the archer is going to be one, just going to have to know what their range is.
Yeah, because like the way it works in, and again, referencing Fire Emblem again, is say you have like an archer. If you select them, all of the blue tiles that show up on the map are where they can move, and obviously they can attack anything that's in the blue tiles as well. And all of the red tiles, which will be surrounding the blue, is like their attack range.
Pretty much a tip I can give to you is I think it's either the standard move range or the move range plus one. But if you actually like click on any enemy, it'll show their movement base. You can probably piece together, okay, anywhere the archer can get just charged and one shot is where her maximum range is. So you always want to keep them behind lines and stuff.
I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but Fire Emblem's really good.
No, yeah,
I wish that every game had a thing like that game does where you can press one button and the entire map lights up with like all of the information. Like if these are all of the squares that on the enemy's next turn they will be able to attack. It won't tell you which specific enemies can attack which blocks unless you tap on the individual enemies. But it tells you, okay, if you move to any of these spots, they'll be vulnerable to at least one attack. It's just super useful.
So when I get a 3DS, should I play Fire Emblem first?
You should
100%. Or should I do Zelda first?
Well, I mean, that's a personal preference thing. Fucking loved Fire Emblem. But for me, it sounds like you love Zelda. So,
well, I do, but what would get me into... I just want something that'll keep me into the 3DS to get the Zelda. I guess I could do Zelda and then jump into Fire Emblem, but
that straight up shows off everything the 3DS has to offer.
Yeah,
play Zelda.
Okay.
Well, and going back to Fire Emblem real fast, that's not the first version of that game, right? They've had several different.
It's the 13th Fire Emblem.
Okay, so like they've had some time to perfect the various systems, right?
Yes, definitely. Okay. So it's not like they hit it great right out of the gate.
And for like the Stoic guys, in their defense, they didn't even have subtitles in the release build. That came later in a patch.
Really?
Yeah. It's a very bare bones system.
Wait. So is the game in Nordic or is it actually in English?
It's in various languages, English and what? It's in English, but there are just no subtitles at first.
Okay. Because it would be awesome if it was like in Nordic, and then you could.
I think in the opening cutscene they say a few things in the Varl tongue, but then immediately they switch to English.
It's not enough to be important because I didn't have subtitles on, and I didn't feel like I I lost anything really.
But yeah, I guess the other thing I'd want to talk is at least hear from Squirtle about. Shimbo, is there anything else you played this week?
More Zelda.
Sweet.
More Star of the Banner Saga. More Guild Wars 2. That they finally did it. They made a living story temporary event that is fun and worth it, whether you fail or succeed. So, like, kudos to them. I guess they finally pulled it off. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. But yet, Squirtle.
Hi.
You got Broken Age. On the topic of like Kickstarters that have made it.
Yeah.
You go from Banner Saga to Broken Age. A game with broken in its name. How is that?
I played Broken Age for probably about 15 minutes when I originally got it. I did the Shay side of the story and did a little bit to, not really spoilers, but get the wrench to open up the grate. I mean, it's not that far in. Sorry. And then when my girlfriend's kids were over this weekend, the boy said, I want to play a video game with you. I said, okay. And I'm trying to think of what games are appropriate for a 10-year-old to play. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to sit down here with my laptop. I'm going to stream it to my Apple TV, and you're going to play Broken Age. So I basically sat back on my couch while he played Broken Age on the laptop, and I watched, which was kind of a really fun way of figuring out how humanity has progressed in video games, that that a 10-year-old can understand Broken Age and get the whole intricacies of playing that game. And just watched him play. And the first person he chose was the female. I can't remember her name. What it was. Sorry, I didn't bring it up. I probably should have. And he played that a little bit, and he got scared. He was freaked out after the first main opening of that game, and then saw that you could go to Shay and then play Shay, and absolutely loved playing Shay. So for me, my gameplay of that was sitting back on the couch, watching it as he was doing it on my TV and saying, hey, maybe you should do maybe this, and just kind of like discovering with it. It was a great game to play with someone and try to troubleshoot and figure out what to do next. And I had a ball doing that. The one thing I was kind of bummed with is that I guess he figured out you can hit spacebar to jump cutscenes or things that you've already seen before to kind of get to what's going on next. And at the last part of Shay's story for right now, he ended up hitting it because it was a scene that he had kind of seen before and thought it was the same thing. And then all of a sudden you were back in the female's character. And immediately when you went back to Shay, it was back where you were. It wasn't, I don't want to spoil it. So it didn't actually play out the final portion of his
story. So what you're saying story. Is that he skipped a cutscene that
he was had vital.
Not yet. Yeah. He not yet already seen.
Right. It was that vital. And I knew it was vital. And as soon as he hit that, as soon as you heard that space bar noise, you were like, no, don't. Oh, you hit the space bar.
You fool. What have you done?
Okay. And I tried to quit the game and then join back in. But unfortunately Steam's, cloud saves were quicker than I was. and when we went back in there, it was back where it was the same place it was.
I still haven't finished that. I'm still stuck.
But the game was so good. And he did a really good job. And I mean, granted, with my help, he got through some parts that he wouldn't have thought of. But so far, it's been a really great game to even watch somebody play or play in your own. Because as he was doing it, I was saying, okay, maybe you should try this. And then he would do it. And I was like, okay, well, he can really get the troubleshooting and figuring out how to do the dialogue in this game. And I think it's pretty awesome. I'm still going to go through and do my own play. As we have learned from this weekend, there are multiple save files that you can choose in games nowadays, and you can play your own. So I'm going to jump back into mine and then play it out. And because I like more the dialogue, where he was less into the sitting there and listening to dialogue that could possibly happen. I'm more into seeing kind of how deep the dialogue goes. So, but yeah, it's a great game. And right now It is my game of the year in January.
Out of, you know, one out of one. Yes.
Yeah, one out of one. I mean, can't get any better than that right now. So however many game companies want to fuck it up later on, go right ahead. Right now, this is my game of the year. So
I still remember last
Kirby's
year.
Kirby's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Last year with Bioshock Infinite, everyone was like, man, game of the year. I can't wait for another game that's going to be like, going to be better than that.
And there wasn't. Honestly, there was no game that was better than Bioshock Infinite. So
as our previous podcast proved, there were zero games in 2013 that were better than Bioshock Infinite. It was determined by a panel.
Yes, a panel of experts.
Yep. So yeah, I still haven't finished Broken Age. You know the part where this isn't really a spoiler at all. It's the part where you need to get Shay's head a certain size.
Yep, figured that out.
The helmet. I can't figure out for the life of me the correct order to do that in.
I'll tell you after we do this if you want help with that. Yeah.
I was thinking of maybe like doing a little bit of the girl's name escapes me, her story.
Yeah.
In the meantime, hear a little Jack Black.
Oh, yes.
Everyone loves a little
maybe
Jack
get
Black.
Back to it.
If I could take Jack Black and put him in my pocket and at like key moments in my life just pull him out and like present him to whoever I'm talking to and he could have some witty comment, I think that would be awesome.
So
like
a mini Jack Black doll
would be awesome. Mini Jack Black doll would be awesome, in my opinion.
On the Guild Wars 2 gem shop, miniature Jack Black. Yeah. With the recent increase in popularity and frequency of Sherlock Holmes related things between Elementary, which is apparently okay, Sherlock, which is really good, those Robert Downey Jr. movies, which were all right. I want to see a super silly, lighthearted Sherlock Holmes related thing where Jack Black plays Moriarty.
That is a
dream of mine.
That would be fucking awesome. Oh my God. That would be
that's like
so great.
One of the main things I want to see come out of the entertainment industry. What does he play the most stupid over the top Moriarty?
Like Morgan Freeman is Sherlock and Jack Black is Moriarty?
Now, I don't know who would play Sherlock in this thing.
Ben Kingsley. There you go.
Yes.
That's a name.
Michael Fassbender.
Oh, anything else you've been up to this week, Squiddle?
Let's see. I did a little bit of that. I purchased a game on my Android.
Oh. Ooh.
Let me open it up here with my encrypted passcode. And
ooh.
Strata, which was a quick look that was done last year on Giant Bomb for the iOS platform, which is basically you have to match the colors and get the ribbon crossing it in a certain pattern based on the rules of the game, and it's actually been pretty good. I enjoy
a quick puzzle game from time to time.
Yeah, I mean it's a great toilet game. Like if I'm going in there and I'm sitting down and I'm like, okay, let's try to do this. Oh no, that didn't work. Okay, I'm done. And then you know, get out. It's great, you know.
That scream was in frustration, not being able to figure out the puzzle, right?
Exactly. Or maybe I tightened them both at the same time, so you could tell the difference. So you know, it works for me either way. But
oh man.
That, and I think I've decided game related to maybe get a tattoo.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not a tattoo fan, but okay.
As a person who lives in Portland, it seems like it's almost required to always have a tattoo. I still have yet to take care of that, but.
Sure. I found this one on DeviantArt when I was searching late at night for any related anime hentai, and I don't know why I was doing that, but I was. I'll be honest with that. And I found this tattoo of a – and it's almost – I need to change it a bit because it says like a ribbon wrapped around it. It says keeping it classic. And what's inside of the ribbon that's wrapped around it is a Game Boy Color.
Ooh.
That is green. It says keeping it classic or keep it classic. And I felt that was pretty awesome to have somewhere. So I don't know where I would – put said image, but I really enjoyed
it. I know
it.
Where.
Yeah, lower back, baby. You know it.
Get that tramp stamp.
You know it. That way when I'm being pounded from – no, never mind. Okay. So anyway.
When Reggie Fils-Aimé is pounding you telling you to buy that 3DS.
Exactly. So
you could be like, anyway, you got a history with our handhelds.
So I found the image. I really liked it. It was designed as a tattoo for someone else out there in the world. And so I really liked it. Game related, that's really all I've been doing. Oh, wait. I have another one.
Oh, okay.
Do tell.
Sorry. It has jumped my mind up until now.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, let me get back to the page so that I have the look up.
Killing, you're killing the hype right now. The hype train is derailed.
Sparrow. No, not Sparrow. That's what I thought about. Sphero. Here we go.
Sphero. What?
So is Sphero that like a Pokemon? 2.0. Sphero 2.0. I brought this up earlier before we started recording. Because when I was at FadeCon, a bunch
of people... Is this the mythical fourth item that you're going to buy out of the three items?
Yes, this is the mythical fourth item.
Okay, to clarify, before we were recording, Squirtle was talking about three things he was going to buy when he got his paycheck or his bonus or whatever it was. It was like...
And then proceeded to name four things.
Name three things. And then he said, and I'm like, wait a minute, you already named three. He's like, I know, this is another thing. I'm like, but you always said three. And here we go. This is the fourth item. I'm excited.
This is the fourth item. So Sphero, if nobody knows, is basically a S-P-H-E-R-O, for you people out there that can't spell Sphero. So Sphero is a robotic ball. And
like a bouncy ball? Like a basketball?
What makes it robotic?
So what makes it robotic is the microchips that are in it, or circuit boards. Sphero is there a wiki that I could easily do this in my drunken studio?
There's the Amazon page.
There is the Amazon page. If I go to GoSphero.com or shop GoSphero. Anyway, Sphero is a ball that is designed to interact with Bluetooth in your phone or a tablet or whatever you choose to connect to via Bluetooth, where you can change the color of the ball. You can move it by using your accelerometer and all sorts of axes controls that are built into phones nowadays. And you can also do it with your finger input touch on the screen. But one thing that Sphero has that is pretty cool in the 2.0 version is a leveling up feature. So when you get your Sphero, hold on to your butts right here. When you get your Sphero, it does not roll or move as fast as it could. The only way to get it to move at top speed or even use turbo boost is to level up your Sphero through your whatever device you decide to choose. And you could pair it with another device, but inside of the ball or sphere itself, it holds the knowledge of what level is it at. So you could essentially play a game of a racing game with someone, and you have been using the Sphero for weeks now, and they just got it, and you will already be faster than them in acceleration because it has been unlocked with you playing with the Sphero, then they can go.
This thing is crazy. This is pure insanity.
Which is pretty cool. And what brought me into this, not to go down a rabbit hole, if you will, pun intended, if you watch the Comedy Button or listen to the Comedy Button, is that Sphero came about with watching Beyblades with my girlfriend's kids this weekend, because they were all like, we want to get Beyblades. Because we thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And I said, well, what's cooler than something that can actually level with you and actually be functional aside from a spinning top?
Pet rock?
So Beyblades are also super dangerous. Just going to throw that out there.
Sure. I mean, something spinning that fast and your eye shards could shoot off and then you could get a total...
I've gotten cut by many a Beyblade in my day.
Oh, jeez. See, I never played with Beyblades ever.
Beyblades, let it rip.
For me, it was Pokemon cards back in the day. That was about as dangerous as we got. But I showed them Sphero and they fell out of their seat. They were just like... And I was sitting on the couch over here, and they asked their mom. They go, "How many are we going to have? How many can we get?"
Huh.
And nope. I looked at them and I said, 100. You can have 100 Spheros."
That was probably a bad idea.
Is this funded by Boston Dynamics?
I don't know.
It just seems like something that it's like, you know, will eventually work its way into the homes of everybody and then take over the world.
So the Sphero itself, you can buy the nubby, which is like a rubber thing that goes around your Sphero that allows it to move easier in water and get more grip. because it is fully submersible. It is not a a device that if you get in the water, it's going to die because it uses inductive charging when you charge it, which is actually pretty awesome. But they're coming out with a Sphero 2B, which is kind of a play. You know, it's a Sphero 2B and it's a Sphero number 2B. And it is designed to do jumps. Now, the Sphero itself can do probably, I think it was about like a 1 foot jump or a few inches jump if you do it off a ramp. The Sphero 2B can do up to a 3.5 foot jump, if I'm not mistaken. So off of a ramp, it can actually launch up to three and a half feet. So it's pretty awesome, the technology that's behind this little guy. A little bit pricey for what it is, but hey, I mean, it's basically a robot in a ball. So I'm not going to complain.
A couple of things. One.
Oh, and, wait.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'll let you get to that.
Okay.
This website is off kilter, and it's really fucking bothering me. Like, it is driving me fucking insane.
Wait, how do you say off kilter? Okay, so I'm going to Sphero.com. I'm at Sphero.
You go to this – if you click on the Sphero 2.0 on the top, okay. follow along at home, listeners. Okay,
Sphero 2.0.
It has a video, right?
Yep.
Look at the white line or the line with the border with the white section underneath. It's slanted.
Border with the white section.
You know how
– oh, my God, it is.
It's bothering the hell out of me.
Oh, man, it is.
Because that's definitely intentional. It's a stylistic choice.
I don't know.
It is driving me crazy. Hold on. Now I'm really – is it slanted or is the black one slanted up?
No, it is because if you go down underneath the buy now, it's slanted the other direction. So it looks like – okay. So I will –
actually, the other one's not strong. Oh, Jesus. This is blowing my mind in the worst way.
I will attribute this to, if you look at the Sphero itself, there are lines on the Sphero that I guess help it do its maneuverability when you're doing tight turns or drifting. Yes, you can drift with the Sphero, which is pretty awesome. But there are lines that go around it in awkward patterns, I guess, that help with grip and turning if you don't have like the nubby casing on it.
Makes sense.
And so maybe that's what they're kind of trying to portray with the lines on their site. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Also, it says this thing can move up to 7 feet per second. That's pretty fast.
13 feet per second, I believe, is the Sphero 2B. So it is even faster.
Easy.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I saw this when I was at FadeCon.
14 feet per second, yep.
14, yeah. And they had a group of people that won them by, like, you know, this guy was like, you know, posting on Twitter, go here. And if you find it, come see me. And they saw him and, you know, whatever. And they all won one. And they had like a Sphero contest, which I'll try to add in the show notes or throw out there so you can see it. They actually broadcast it on Twitch. And it was pretty nifty seeing it. I was actually impressed at how well that it synced up with the with my phone and everything. And then when you told it to go this direction, it actually went that direction as opposed to a extreme lag and how far you could actually get with it. So I was like, this is a pretty cool little game. And, you know, my whole thing with Beyblades was if you're spending $20 on a cheap piece of plastic with metal around it that you ripcord pull and then all it does is spin, at least this, with its gaming aspect, here we go, guys, you can fight zombies in a virtual reality setting with your Sphero.
Okay.
As it's looking, if you have your tablet or phone looking at your Sphero while controlling it, you actually will see zombies pop up, and you can fire laser beams out the Sphero logo at the zombies.
If only this actually fired laser beams.
If only it did, exactly. And then you can also use it as a accelerometer in certain games because it's able to detect turns and forward pitch and height difference from where it originally sat at. You can actually control like spaceships or type stuff while using the Sphero in your hand as if it was a controller. So it's actually pretty nifty. And with the 2.0 and the 2B, they have people have written really extensive algorithms and different types of code that are available to be programmed to the Sphero so that you can use it in other applications as well.
I don't know. This thing's weird. I like it.
Yeah, I went down a dark hole kind of researching it, looking into it, and I'm definitely going to get one of these. We'll bring it to PAX East if any of the listeners will be going there with us. So I will definitely have it with me there to take a look at. So But that's my gaming weekend, guys.
What'd Sweet. You do, Thurb?
Well, I played. I've been playing around with Spelunky, trying to like 100% it with characters and all that. Really, just trying to. It's more and more. I sit down. Well, I don't want to play the game, but there's nothing else to play that I want to play right now. So, what else can I do with this game? And I keep seeing more dumb stuff. Like a little anecdote with it is there's an ice gun turns you into an ice block. If you hit anywhere like normally. Like if you turn someone an ice block midair, they'll fall to the ground and shatter and explode. If you whip them while they're in an ice block, they shatter and explode. If you're underwater and you turn someone into an ice block, instead of sinking, they would rise to the top and float.
Mm-hmm. Huh, like ice.
Yeah, it's just not something I would expect to happen. So that's something silly. I did another run of the Banner Saga and found that like, trying to choose better decisions than my first playthrough resulted in even more tough decisions to be made. So, again, deeper than I originally anticipated. So, awesome. And then I ended up playing a free mod of the Half-Life 2 game just because I was bored and I wanted to play something, but I didn't really want to spend money on it.
And that's a good reason.
Yeah. That was one where called Minerva. Subtitle.
What is that all about?
Metastasis. It's really good. It was a Half-Life 1 mod, and you could tell because of the game design, I guess, in terms of like, you don't even get the gravity gun from Half-Life 2. You just show up and you start shooting stuff. But the first level is really, really, really inspired by the Silent Cartographer level of Halo 1.
I don't remember that.
It's the one where you're on an island. It's very.
I haven't played the original Halo in forever.
Well, it's really Wait. Good. It's a really good level.
Halo had four other series.
Did you just ask if Halo 4 had other series?
No, if Halo had four other series, I don't remember. After Halo 1, everything else was shit. So
wasn't this from Halo 1?
Yeah, this is the Silent Cartographer from Halo 1.
Oh, I don't remember that because obviously it wasn't good.
Right.
Anyway.
It was coming from just one guy. It was super interesting to see like how good of a level design it was. And it was like basically like a 2-hour shooter sort of thing. So it was nothing to write home about, but I had fun with it. Anybody who has Half-Life 2.
Everyone
should give that a try if they just like a good shooter every now and then. And
let's put Half-Life 2 again. 'Cause that game's good.
Yeah.
Speaking of PC games in general,
yeah,
I built a PC yesterday.
Oh,
I heard it
wasn't mine.
Oh, okay, but still,
you know Blitz. He was on the show once, I believe.
Yes, I'm familiar with Blitz. Blitzkrieg, Blitz Shadow, Blitz.
Blitz Walker, Blitz 98. I think is his current mobile name, which is weird because there's actually no Blitz 98. There's Blitz 99.
Oh,
the Blitz that came out in 97. Which would be Blitz 98, was just the original Blitz.
So for Halloween, anyway. for Christmas, he should be Blitzicle.
Exactly.
Icicle.
He had been gaming on I forgot the manufacturer, it's not important, gaming laptop, which those are never the best. So he basically put together a list of parts that is basically just this year's model of all the stuff that I got last year. So I have an i7 3770K and a GTX 670 in here. And he basically just got the same thing as me, except a 4770K and a 770.
Okay.
So I just went up there yesterday and helped him put that together. And it was funny because we put everything together. And normally, if it was me, I'd be like, oh, man, I can't wait to mess around with this. And we finished putting it together. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go to the gym.
Oh, yeah. God, I'm not surprised. Not at all, to be honest.
It was pretty funny because, like, it was snowing and I had to head back. I had to take the train back home because he's going to the school near me now. And after we finished, we went out to grab something to eat. And he's like, no, right, I'm going to walk to the gym. And you walk me over to – because you need to go into the train station a different way than you come out if you're heading the opposite direction. And me not being in that area often, I didn't know that. So he showed me where the train station went. He's like, all right, I'm going to head to the gym. See you later. instead of going now, back and messing with
his computer. Has he put a computer together before? Or did he just No. Okay.
It was funny. On Mumble, we were joking. I forgot who it was. Someone was like, yeah, Blitz built his new computer yesterday. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down with the he built it nonsense. There were a few moments, though, where I was plugging something in. Or, like, I remember in particular, I was plugging in or getting ready to plug in all the case fans into the motherboard, all the chassis fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were pre-wire tied on the back, so you couldn't get the cables, like, to stretch as long as I needed them to. And I pulled the knife out on my multi-tool and started cutting the wire tie. And I was like, wait a minute. This is your computer. What the hell am I doing this for? And actually, just, like, spun the case around and tossed the knife at him.
I got a couple friends who and coworkers who were like, "Man, I want to try building a new computer with like either tax money or whatnot from this year." And just like yearly projects that like it's neat that people are trying to build new computers, but they're all like, "I don't know how to do it." And I'm just like, "It's not that like building PCs is a lot easier than it used to be."
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I it was funny. I was sort of explaining everything along the way. So like when I put the CPU in first, that's, you know, the logical first step, and took it out of the box. And I was like, all right, you never, ever, ever, ever want to handle this thing from the bottom of it. Because those pins will bend and you will be shit out of luck.
Yep.
I was like, you know, explaining stuff like that. Like, okay, you got to push the memory in all the way till the thing snaps up. Stuff like basic stuff like that. It was fun.
What's nice, it's nice with, I guess if you... Those are listening. If you ever read the Xeon processors,
aren't those the server ones?
Yeah, they are. But they also have Xeon processors for cases. If you are absolutely buttfuck crazy and want to pay the kind of money for a Xeon processor in your PC, and they don't have pins on them. The pins are actually on the motherboard itself.
Ooh, that's weird.
In the cradle. But what's great about it is, you don't have to worry about bending them on the processor. You just set them down and then snap it in, and it touches automatically. You know, not automatically, but with the distance, you know, of course.
Well, I mean, it's pretty good nowadays, so. Like, because all the CPUs have notches and stuff in them that fit with the notches in the cradle. So it's basically, unless you're a straight dumbass and not looking, it's basically impossible to put it in wrong.
Well, unless you were the kind of guy that put the round peg in the square hole or square peg in the round hole. And didn't realize how to do it, then you're going to have a bad time.
I think the one people still might get like messed up on is not putting the coolant, like the whatever the
paste?
Thermal paste?
Yeah, the thermal paste.
Yeah.
The gray stuff that you definitely want to put on between the processor and the fan.
You just need a dot, guys. You don't need to put the entire tube that comes with it.
The good thing is if you're using the stock cooler, which he was in this case, which actually the Intel stock cooler isn't bad, especially if you're not doing any overclocking, is the thermal paste is on the cooler already. So you just sort of stick the cooler on and snap it in place.
Yeah, it's definitely super easy. Done that, so.
Actually, on my computer, I'm using one of the Hyper 212s. I want to say it's the 212 Plus, and those things are fantastic for the price you pay for them. Except I think I fucked up putting the thermal paste on at least a little bit because I don't know whether it's just one core is getting utilized more than the others, but it seems like one core is always running slightly hotter than the rest, which means that the thermal paste just might be not distributed evenly.
Yeah, just to give people an idea out there, we had a PC at work that had a Xeon processor in it, and for the last 3 years, nobody actually delved into why it kept rebooting. When we took the processor out, we saw that a little tiny, tiny glob of thermal paste was touching the pins because it was incorrectly put in. And after it heated up enough, it would reboot the system after a short, essentially. And once we cleared it out, we could redeploy the system. So if you're having that issue, make sure your thermal paste isn't somehow touching the pins on your
processor. It was funny because we were putting it together upstairs in his dorm room initially before he informed me that there was a bigger table downstairs. And I was like, well, why did you say that to begin with? I put, you know, the basic components, just CPU, GPU, memory in.
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, you check it to see if the thing posts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, we got two options here. We can either move this case over and try and prop it up and plug in the power switch, or you can hand me that flathead, or we can short this thing to turn it on. He was like, I think I'm going to get the case.
Oh, I've never done that. I've always installed the motherboard to the case itself and then made sure that it powered on. I've never actually done an external.
Yeah, you can straight up just get a flathead and touch those two connections together, and it'll short it and it'll turn the thing on.
Yeah, that's more than I never wanted to delve that deep. I just like, you know, I say that I have actually a tool you can plug in and then hit the button on it and it will act as a power switch. So if you're testing motherboards, and it's pretty nice, company bought, not my own, unfortunately. However, I've used it on my own. But it is actually pretty handy if you build a lot of computers. If not, don't invest in it, to be honest. So,
yeah, I'm sure it can't be that expensive. It's basically just a button.
Yeah, well, when you're building a computer and you don't want to buy any extra stuff, an extra $50 is something you don't want to spend money on. So it was kind of nice to have that around to just, you know, okay, it works cool, and then put everything else together. Now, there are probably cheaper ones, so everyone don't, you know, fucking attack me at once. But back when I was doing it, it was like $50 for the device. So.
Yeah, that was a fun day. So, yeah, that was fun.
Sweet.
Good times.
I think that's all we have. Is there anything else we want to do this week?
We're going to cut that out. We're cutting this part out.
Did I talk last week about playing Nidhogg? I think I briefly said, hey, I played Nidhogg, but...
I think Nidhogg is a game best experienced on your own.
Yeah, that game is crazy.
Is there an online mode for it, or is it only like local? There is online? Okay.
Actually, the reason why it's come out now opposed to like 6 to 8 months ago was because the guy saw that, okay, this... It's sort of like the argument for Samurai Gun, how that's just straight up a local-only, super fun, but really bare-bones game. Nidhogg was looking like that too, but the guy saw, the developer saw that this could be something that like an esports sort of thing. So he put a lot more effort into it, took it to Evo and had guys play test it, made it into this whole tug of war type thing with a multi-layer fencing, like parry system for like there's low guard, high guard. They're added the whole like non-sword combat, like just unarmed fighting. The whole dive kick thing got added in, and still just based off two buttons. And so like that, and also having online only, or an online mode as well as an AI mode, were things that he added on after the like initial design of the game. And so you can play AI starting off, then start playing online mode, and then get into a whole like tournament arenas type thing with local. And that's the design that I had for it.
It was really fleshed out with all the different options, like the slow-mo and the like low gravity and the boomerang swords and all these modifiers you can stick in.
Yeah.
Got boomerang swords, pretty awesome.
Boomerang swords are the best.
That is pretty much a clutch move. If you can learn to throw that and then they respawn and then it hits them as it's coming back.
I love boomerang swords.
Boomerang swords.
Okay, so number five on my list is to buy that game. That's my number five.
Number five on your list of three things?
Yeah, I'm going to skip over four because it never existed and just go to five.
Okay. No, four was the Sphero.
Well, three was this.
The Sphero. It was like a 3DS. It was like something else I don't remember. Red cards or something.
So we had three. Yeah.
Right. Whatever. I remember the Sphero was number four, and then this is number five. That's all that matters.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Five out of three. Video games, you guys. Third thing. So I like how you said this was going to be a laid-back episode, and then it got straight into like the realest of real talk.
I wanted to see what Banner Saga was like for you, and then also Broken Age. Those were the things.
I'm not even
like,
talking about that. I'm talking about before that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the realest of real talk.
You mean Ultimate Story Design with Black Bird Saga?
Black
Metal? Black Metal Saga.
Oh, I told you, chill it on the sagas.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, can't you? If it's a digital thing, you can't have Saga in it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, jeez.
Redacted.
So yeah, I had asked. I actually wanted to read the if this is the final area of our cast this evening.
We got to learn how to end these shows better at some point.
I know.
No one knows how.
With practice comes great responsibility. Isn't that how
it works? Yes, that's the phrase.
Well, it's usually if they have like a format of some kind, that'll be good. But like, yeah, I don't really care.
You know, show notes or segments or you people sent us emails. We would have emails to read.
And oh, would we have comments for those emails?
Or even just things on Twitter.com/TheLincolnCast? Do we want to have Twitter.com/TheScotchCast as well?
There's no point.
How about just the cast? See if that's
taken. Yeah, at the cast. Yeah,
at the cast.
That's probably not taken.
But yeah, I actually wanted to read the forward poem that I had originally written for the Lexper of Time.
Go for it, man.
Rocket, yeah.
So here's how it goes. I'm going to try to read it in the accent in which I originally wrote it in. So forgive me if it is botched up to hell. If you are Scottish/Irish, I apologize. Here we go. An aged Annfilt stands unstruck, time withering her longing face. The ghastly, howling, bellowing song clashing amongst the empty space. Blacksmith forged thine dagger of time, combined the souls from which once slain. As it is told in the Book of Moons, the black unholy powered seared into the iron wounds. Fire, come forth and breathe thine power. Let no coward stand scorn unscoured. Into the darkness and shadow I lurk and hide, forgotten and soulless as the black sparrow of time.